Okay, this morning as I was praying, the Lord just wanted me to tell you that those of you that are part of this ministry, He considers the best of the best. And as a partner to this ministry, I consider you the best of the best. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. All right, Sunday morning, 5:14:23. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that will be listening to this. This is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. And the title of this is The Breakthrough. All right. Jesus came to bring the gospel of the kingdom. He told His disciples to pray this prayer, the song that we just sang. We're going to read it. It's in Matthew chapter 6. After this manner, therefore, pray, ye, our Father, I like to say, who art in heaven. If you have a Scofield, I believe it says who. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, and I like that, in earth, as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the glory forever. Wait a minute. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That's, like I was telling Danny yesterday, that's the prayer of all prayers. Right there. That's our heart's desire. His kingdom come, His will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. That was God's will from the beginning. It's still God's will, and it will never change. All right, now go over to Luke chapter 4. We're going to see Jesus was God in flesh, and He came to show this prayer in manifestation. His will be done in earth. All right, Luke 4:18-19. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So that's what Jesus' ministry was all about. He came to show the kingdom. He came to show God's will. And that's what the epistles are all about. He walked out the kingdom in the earth. All right, the people throughout the ages, through the prophets mainly, saw some miracles. What are miracles? They're breakthroughs. Because of the demonic suppression over the earth, heaven cannot get through unless, like Jesus, He stood in power and authority and was able to show the Jews heaven in the earth. He is the God of the breakthrough, but He is also the God that wants heaven to reign in the earth. You know, people consider, oh, that's a miracle. It's just a once in a happenstance. You know, that's just an occasional thing. But that's not God's will, is that occasional thing, even though they're wonderful when they happen. This is what He wants us to reign and rule in right now. That's what heaven coming to earth is all about, is heaven in the earth. Why has it been suppressed? You guessed it, the prince of the power of the air. Okay. So Jesus came to show us heaven. A lot of His parables will start off with saying the kingdom of God is as if or as this. I mean, He spoke in parables. I'm going to look at a few of these. Matthew 20 is one. Luke We're going to start with verse 6 there. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few chosen. You know, it's not the person's fault when God calls them, or he separates them from their call to do the actual work. So he's just. If I've decided to make you wait, then you'll get the same as the one that labored all day. As in our case, I remember one time the Lord speaking that to Danny about, what's the deal here? He said, well, you hadn't been hired yet. Oh. But they were waiting around on the place to be picked and selected. Right? It's not about how long. Well, I ought to get more because I did it a lot longer than you. That doesn't make any difference in the kingdom of God. See, in the earth, it makes a lot of difference. How long you did it, and you're the expert, you're better than anybody else because they haven't done it as long as you, or whatever the case may be, but not in the kingdom of heaven. He said, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. All that would receive this, they would now walk like he walked, talk like he talked. By using his name, heaven would break through for them and us, just like it did for him. See, Jesus showed the kingdom. It was called the gospel of the kingdom. Miracles are just not just for miracles' sake. And yeah, there are people that get healed in church services and things like that, and that's good and noble, but that's not really what it was for. We're supposed to go into all the world and bring the kingdom. That's what he said, go do. And he gave them this where people were healed, these manifestations of the Spirit, so people would see, this is heaven. This is what heaven's like. All right. Through the parables of Jesus, he showed the kingdom ways to the people. He brought heaven to earth. He came from heaven to earth to show the way. Petra knew what I'm talking about today. And their song. Good song, by the way. All right, let's continue. Matthew 22. There's all kinds of parables. 22, 1 and 2 says, And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, Parable is an analogy. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Jesus didn't teach any other way, because those that had understanding would get it, and those that didn't, it would just fall on deaf ears. All right, flip back to Matthew 13. I just picked a few, but there's several. This is 13 verse 10. And the disciples came and asked unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Do you ever feel like you're speaking in parables? You're trying to impart to somebody just a simple biblical truth, and they don't know what in the world you're talking about. It's just like it goes over their head. It's gotten to where sometimes you can't even have a conversation anymore. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Boy, that's not like the world, is it? It's just the opposite in the world. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Now, the parable of the sower is one that says, you know, if you could just understand this parable, you've unlocked the whole kingdom. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. That's the way it works. And you can look around you and see it played out right in front of your face in people's lives. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. There's people that, you know, you talk to them and they get encouraged and they'll do it for a little bit, and before you know it, they've sloughed off and gone just the opposite direction. Ever coming across with people like that? They don't have enough word built into them to maintain. Their hearts are right, they want to, but they don't get it that, you know, you have to be diligent in the word. You can't just dust it off on Sunday morning and read a scripture, follow along, and shut the book and go about your business all week and expect results. Well, you'll get negative results. See, there was no root. They had no root. And first rattle out of the box, the devil comes to steal the word, and there they go. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becometh unfruitful. He that receiveth seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, who also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30. I mean, it goes on, the next parable, 24. And another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man which sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. See, what we have, we've got a guard. You know, that can be corporately or personally. All right. So Jesus did not teach any other way. This reminds me of today. Some have awakened and some have not. And I've heard people say, well, you're either destined to awake or not. I don't agree with that. I think everyone has an equal opportunity with God that when he speaks, they hear. Now, I know there's some that are chosen for such a time as this, and that's a little bit different. Okay. When these parables are understood, they unlock keys to heaven. He came from heaven to earth to show the way. He said, I am the way. That's why I can't cotton to anybody else saying anybody else or anybody else's God or whatever that has anything to do with Jehovah. Oh, it's all the same God. No, it isn't. Don't you let them tell you that. When you hear that, you say, no, it's not. He's not the same. If that were true, we'd have a schizophrenic God, wouldn't we? Because they have one doctrine they follow, we have another. Yeah. Okay, now go with me to John chapter 6. This, when the Lord gave me this, I just thought, I hadn't thought about it that way, Lord. Right here, verse 16. And when even was now come, that his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. This is what the Spirit said to me. Travel at the speed of thought. Now think about that. Travel at the speed of thought. I thought, I've heard people in the truther movement talk about this. Just bits and pieces. I'm thinking, this is what's coming.
John Evans used to teach that.
Well, this is what's coming. See, if we had no hindrances, this would be natural for us. But no, it's one of those, ah. We're so dumbed down that that's just, ah. Only in the movies, right? I'm sure there's people that are there and are doing it. Why did Jesus come? To bring heaven to earth through the new birth. He was our only hope. Where are we headed? Heaven and earth. New ways of doing everything. No devil to lie to us and prevent breakthrough. It has always been God's will, heaven and the earth. The devil is the one that has hindered this. You could say he's polluted the atmosphere. Some say we don't even see our real sun because of what their shenanigans and what they've tried to do. I don't know if it's true or not. But it would surprise me, all his stink. You know, when you get an answer to prayer, that's a breakthrough. All the sewer that's above our heads in the atmosphere from the prince of the power of the air. Just a crumb. A crime every once in a while is what we've had to settle for. That's not acceptable anymore. We've got to punch a hole in that atmosphere. You talk about breaking the glass ceiling. No. We've got to clear out. That's what our stance is. Ephesians is talking about. That prayer that stands and does not back down. That's fighting the good fight of faith. Standing, punching a hole. Through that, whatever you want to call it up there. Just think about it. It must stink up there because of who's up there. All right. Let me keep going here. Where are we headed? Heaven and earth. New ways of doing everything. No devil to lie to us and prevent breakthrough. It has always been God's will, heaven and earth. The devil's the one that has hindered this. You know, our prayers are the only thing that will make it through. And sometimes they're hindered. All right, 1 Thessalonians 2:18. We should not put limits on God in any way. The wildest, most far-out movie that you've ever seen. Don't ever say that's impossible because they got that idea from somewhere. Yeah. All right. 2 Thessalonians 2:18 says, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. What is the word hindered? It means to impede or detain. God never meant for it to be that way. Never. But because we have gotten into the place that we think that is the norm. Oh, we're going to have a big revival meeting here, you know, and we pray and do all these things. Well, yeah, that's probably the reason that there are the miracles is because of that. But we're supposed to be walking in this. Okay, I'm going to read Ephesians 6 to you because I just brought it up. But what is it doing? This stance is coming against the hindrances from this being heaven and the earth. And God put it in our lap. Jesus brought the kingdom. He showed them how to do it. Oh, that's just for those prayer warriors, you know. Just those, you know. No, it's supposed to be for everyone. All right, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. You're not going to be able to do it any other way. And in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rules of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Every lack you have in your life, there's the culprit. There's the hindrance. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In other words, you can't back down. There's no other place to go, y'all. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, have it on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's what I'm talking about, every single one. Pawing, shaking the serpent off. That kind of quenching every fiery dart. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, the teaching I'm going to have after this goes along with this, and I'll get into that a little further. And this is what the Lord began to say to me. Who you really are and what you really have has been so suppressed. You will have to learn to tap into these things that I have already given you. The enemy, through his propaganda, has so dumbed my people down. My people are beat down. The thief has stolen. He has killed. He has destroyed. He has robbed my whole body of the supernatural ways of my kingdom. These supernatural ways are normal for a son of God. The way that I show is the normal way for sons and daughters to live. The supernatural is normal. Most say, oh, that is a miracle. Blind seeing, deaf hearing, dead raised, divine health, divine supply. It's all normal kingdom living. The best, oh my children, is yet to come. So many have adapted to the horrible state you're now observing in your nation and the nations of the world. They really think that this is natural. A horrible fallen world is a product of the evil one. For he has deceived men into speaking what they see and are experiencing instead of what they want. He has tricked them into speaking which was given supernaturally to us, just like he gave that ability to Adam in the garden, well, call it what you want. They've taken that, perverted that, and now men speak what they don't want. And now you see what we live in because of it. It's all a product of words, all of it. God said, light be, light was. Today they say, oh, the sky's falling. Oh, we're not going to have anything to eat. Oh, we won't have any money. Oh, what are we going to do? Next thing you know, they'll be putting me in a FEMA camp. Well, bye. See ya. Ain't going to affect me. I'm going to walk in the kingdom. How about you? I see talent. People say, well, don't like that word timeline. But I think really it bears it out in the Bible. Those who do right are rewarded. Those who don't aren't. I see two timelines here. Which road? The wide road, the narrow road. Which one are you going to choose? I'm not going to reap the repercussions of what you have decided to do if it's evil. And you're not going to lag on my coattail when I've chosen the right path either. Every person has to choose which way they're going to go. All right, Isaiah 65. See, the Lord showed them. He didn't even speak it. When he rebuked those waves, he's immediately at the shore. Oh, but that was Jesus. Well, he was an example. He became a man. He walked it out in the flesh as a man to show us how. All right, Isaiah 65:24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear. Think about that. See, before people speak, there's something going on prior. You're thinking in a certain way. To me, you're already forming the picture in your mind, right? All right, Amos chapter 9. The old prophets knew a little bit about prophesying about the kingdom. Amos 9:13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and the hill shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them, and I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. No more thief. All right, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Starting with verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, neither the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If the devils knew what really was going to transpire and what it would do for humanity, not mankind, that's man-made mankind. Just don't use that mankind. This is humanity. This is what God made, not mankind. That's transgender mankind. Anyway, what reason I said that, I don't know. But anyway, but they would not have crucified him had they known. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered to the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And they go far beyond what we think, even at this point. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no one. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's how we come into all of this. We have his mind, the word, to know what to do. Speed of thought. Before you ask it, it's already here. Has that ever happened to you? You're just thinking about something. You hadn't voiced it. You hadn't prayed about it. And all of a sudden, bam. I've had a few of those. That's the way it is in the kingdom of heaven. It's natural. Miracles are just breakthroughs into the earth from time to time. God doesn't want us to just have a breakthrough here and there, but he meant for us to live under an open heaven. It's always been open 24/7. The problem? Just like Daniel chapter 10, when he prayed and the angel was delayed for 3 weeks. And the angel Michael, or it wasn't the angel Michael, but the angel Michael helped his angel, because the prince of Tyre or whatever came against him and hindered the prayer. And he told Daniel, but I've come for your words. From the moment you prayed, I heard it. And I've been trying to get there. But this stinking, you know what, up here got in the way, a territorial spirit. Divine health and wealth are the norm, not poverty and lack, sickness and despair. The manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit are breakthroughs brought from heaven to earth. Can you now see why everything is groaning? You see why the earth is groaning? All creation is groaning. This is Romans chapter 8. God is looking for a few that will dare to believe. This is Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Yeah, we're all waiting for that. For we are saved by hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what he doth he yet hope for. But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What does the Spirit do when you pray in the Spirit? He shows you things. Heavenly things. How to do things. How to operate the kingdom. That's why we need to do it a lot. The angels declared at Jesus' birth, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. This was the beginning of it. Peace here means to join or prosperity. Irene is the word, the Greek word. Vines, harmonious relationships between men, nations, freedom from molestation, order in the state and in the churches, quietness, harmony between God and men, or man, rest, contentment, shalom, wholeness, unhewn, full, finished, made perfect, entire, reconciliation. This is peace. The moment of his birth, peace in earth, goodwill towards man. You could say that breakthroughs are just crumbs in comparison with how we will eventually live and come to know it as normal. Like earnest money on a new home, God has said, I'm good for it. He's given us a glimpse inside. It's what we need to pray in the Spirit. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, right quick. 5:5. Right here, the earnest of the Spirit. This is what earnest is. A pledge, part of the purchase money or property given in advance as security for the rest. Isn't that what we've been praying for? His kingdom come, as will be done in earth as in heaven? All right, I got a couple more scriptures and we'll be done with this teaching. Well, a few more. All right, Revelation 21. Verse 21:22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun. And this is what's going to be on earth here. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And all the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So this glorious city, it'll be for the children of God, and if there's anybody out there that isn't, they can't come in. That's not heaven. This is heaven on earth. All right, 22. Verse 1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. See those that live outside. And there shall be no more. Does this sound like heaven? God's heaven? No, this is on the earth. People get that all screwed up. Well, we just heaven is not our home. I have news for you. Have you read the Bible lately? And there should be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his same name shall be on their foreheads. And there should be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. This is where we're headed. I was talking to somebody the other day. They were talking about, you know, people just don't want to listen to things. And she said, I just feel so sorry for them because they're going to have to go through the tribulation. And I just kept my mouth shut and didn't say a word. I just wanted to go, what the heck do you think we've been going through? I just go, ah! One of these rapturologists. I'm just going. See, we make this sound like pie in the sky. No, this is real living. This is real living. I'm talking flesh and blood, changed flesh and blood, but flesh and blood living. Like now, with all the garbage gone. We got to get this reality into us. This is real. This isn't a dream. This is real. And it's coming. All things are possible to them who believe. We have just settled for the crumbs. But the day is coming when the heavens will be clear and God's throne will rest on the earth, and this will be in full manifestation. The rest of what the Lord said, we are being prepared to rule, to restore God's order and government in the new world, new people. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Creatures here means original formation. Garden, back to Eden. The goal is this, even in the kingdom, we'll be ruling and reigning. Romans 5:17, which is the mission statement of this ministry. For because of one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. We will never quit reigning. That's our destiny.